Thank you, Katie and Vicky. What a tremendous special. Amen? Amen. Broken and spilled out. That ought to be descriptive of every one of our lives. Amen? Yes. He is worthy of that. It's our, reasonable service for us to give him our lives. Amen. And may we have that same mindset that that woman had when she took that box of ointment of spikenard and broke it. Very valuable. And just worship the Lord with it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That was a great, great special. All right. Now, let's go ahead. We'll take our Bibles. We're going to turn to John chapter 17. This is where I was a couple of weeks ago. Again, I leapfrogged Father's Day last week. And so this was started a couple weeks ago. And as I mentioned, it was a busy, busy Sunday. So I barely got into that. I think I got through the first point is what I did. And we'll go back over through that just real quickly, briefly, how many of you were not here 2 weeks ago? Some of you, I can't remember that far back, Pastor Garcia. Yeah. All right. So in John chapter 17, this is the Lord's Prayer in the upper room shortly before he's going to the cross, the very, very next morning. So in John chapter 17, this high priestly prayer that the Lord Jesus prays for his disciples, but it also extends beyond the disciples. It goes to all those who will put their faith and trust in him. We can see ourselves in this passage, which is tremendous. In verse 17 of John 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me." Now listen to these words. Again, we're talking about our identification, our union with Christ. He says here in verse 21, "that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us." Tremendous, tremendous thought here. "That the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." There's a whole lot there, but as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, those verses from 21, 22, and 23, we just try to get that one thought, the fact that we are in Christ, and he is in us, and we have this, what I would call this identification that we have with Christ, but also this union. That's just an important teaching, an important doctrine that you and I really need to get a grasp of. And that's where I wanted to bring out some of the benefits that come when we understand that. And that's what we started in 2 weeks ago. So with that, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. We're so grateful for the opportunity to gather together. We never want to take it for granted. Forgive me, Lord, whenever I have taken it for granted to just gather together and the fellowship that we have and the opportunity that we can sing praises unto you, for the opportunity to pray. We thank you for the things we've heard this morning and Brother Fiedler and the message that he brought forth on fearfulness and how we're to walk with you, how we're to walk by faith, not by sight. And Lord, we thank you for the special that we just heard. What a blessing to our hearts, Lord. And so we thank you for the opportunity again to gather. We want more than anything. I pray you'll help me to just step aside. Lord, put me behind the cross. And I pray, Father, that I wouldn't go where you don't want me to go. Help me not to say the things I don't need to say. But I pray that you would direct me. But I pray mostly that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified, and I pray for the Spirit of God to anoint me. I pray, Father, that you'll address all of the needs that are taking place, that are happening in all of these lives, those that are hearing live stream. We pray, Father, that you would do as only you can do. You can address and touch the hearts of every individual. And you know those that don't know you. There may be those that are here this morning. They've never trusted you as their Savior. And I pray for them that they'll get saved, Lord, that they would put their faith and trust in Christ and believing what you did for them on the cross. So we thank you and we praise you. We ask all this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, let me just start off real quick from what I brought out a couple weeks ago about this identification that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. I brought up this this definition that I got out of the 1828 Webster's Dictionary. I love that dictionary. It says identify. When we identify, it says to become the same, to coalesce. That means to unify, to coalesce in interest, purpose, use, effect, etc. To become one together. What a great, great thing that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing can separate us from this union. What we have in him is permanent. Nothing can separate this union. We read from Romans chapter 8, and I'll just read a few verses. You can turn there, certainly. In fact, it would be a good idea to turn there. Romans chapter 8, right toward the end of that chapter. I had brought out the first benefit, and this was the point that I touched on a couple weeks ago. The first benefit is when we receive the knowledge of this identification, when we understand it. You know, listen, you know, there's a lot of knowledge out there that puffeth up. It's just a lot of information, and, you know, you can Google anything, and you can just get puffed up with a lot. It's good to find out things and know things, but we can get puffed up with all that knowledge. But there is the right kind of knowledge, and God wants us to get the right kind of knowledge. What does it say? 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's good to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1 says, whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge. So we're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But that passage in here, the knowledge of this identification, to know this is so important. You don't want to be ignorant of this. And it says here in verse 36, we'll just go there to the end of the chapter, which is verse 39 in Romans 8. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. What a great, great verse that is. For I am persuaded, and I love what the Apostle Paul does here. I am persuaded that neither death nor life, look at all the swing here that he goes from one end of the pendulum to the other, nor angels, nor principalities. That's on the other side of that equation of angels. Nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate, nor any other creature. He just basically, just a clean, wide swath. He says, there's nothing. Nothing what? Nothing that can separate you. He says, nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. Nothing can separate you from him. Amen. We sang blessed assurance earlier. The assurance of what? Assurance of a number of things, but the assurance of our salvation. Amen. The Lord Jesus says in John chapter 10 that nothing can pluck you out of my hands. Nothing can pluck you out of the Father's hands. That's a great, great thing. It's important for you and I to really get that established. Sometimes with upbringing, some problems with your upbringing, maybe some problems with relationships, whether it was parents or whatever it might have been, sometimes we take that into our relationship with the Lord, and we think that the Lord is going to treat us the same way as some humans have. Man, my heart goes out to you if you had some kind of an upbringing that maybe has kind of made it a bit of a rocky road as you've tried to go down life's highway. But boy, you just need to look to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. You know what I'm trying to deal with. And I don't want that to you know, get me off of the path. Lord, help me. Give me your strength and your grace. And he's such a gracious God. He's such a kind God. He'll bring you along to the point where you'll go, a lot of people have let me down, but he'll never let me down. And he says, I love you. I'll never forsake. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that a great promise? It's just a wonderful promise. And so I spoke toward all of that about this knowing him and how important it is to have knowledge of this identification that we have with Christ. I'll give you a couple of verses that I gave you a couple of weeks ago. In John chapter 10 and verse 28, I referred to that just a little bit ago. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. No one can pluck you out of the Lord's hands. You've got to get that established. And once you get that established, those fears, and Brother Fiedler brought up a great lesson about fearfulness, and that's just going back to the old nature when we do that, because God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So when we begin to be caught up and overwhelmed and overwrought with fearfulness, it's the old nature. We're going the wrong way. And when we get that established and know, oh, Lord, I belong to you and you're mine, and I know that you love me, boy, it's just good to get that settled down. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 30 and verse 32, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Boy, you can't get any closer to someone than that. We're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And verse 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Well, we belong to him. We are part and parcel with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great, great thing to know that. Now, let me go now to the second benefit, and I'll give you a few more of these. These benefits, the benefits that come when we really begin to understand this, and we need the Lord to help us to have understanding. The second benefit is the natural outcome of the one that I just spoke of. It's the natural outcome of this first truth, or it should be. To me, it's the flip side of the same coin, and it's the second thing. It's the assurance that we receive. It's an assurance that we receive when we have that knowledge. And we have that knowledge of this identification, of this fact that we are tied into him. When we understand that we are bone of his bones and flesh of his flesh, we can't help but realize that we're his. We belong to him. Praise the Lord. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 12 and 13. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That our salvation, folks, is secure. It's secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, when you hear those words of his, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 that says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. The Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, lives inside of you and I. We have him. He is the Comforter. That is God living inside you and I. And the Bible says that he has sealed us unto the day of redemption. There are things that you do, ladies, that you, in the process of doing certain things, you put a seal upon them, right? The thing that comes to my mind is preserves, right? You know, I just love some of the preserves that I've gotten from some of you ladies. How many of you do the preserves thing, right? None of you are willing to own up to that. But what do you do with those preserves? You kind of put a seal on those things, don't you? There's this force field again. I've been transported to the mannequin factory again. You're all just sitting there looking at me like a tree full of owls. Listen, folks, if you have a good grasp of this identification that you have with the Lord Jesus Christ, then Satan's not going to be able to get a foothold there. He won't be able to get a foothold. Now, he's going to look for opportunities. What does it say in Ephesians chapter 4? And I think it's verse 26, 20, I think it's verse 27. Neither give place to the devil. You know where we give place to him is when we start to, you know, entertain wrongful thoughts. When we start to go, well, am I really secure in Christ? look what I've been doing. Well, listen, it's good to make sure that our salvation is secure, but when our hearts go that, just get right with God. Just get it. Just make sure that you restore that fellowship that we have with Him. First John chapter 1 is that great chapter that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then we can be right back on that road where we're walking in the light as He is in the light. And when we're not doing that, boy, go right back to verse 9 again and say, Lord, forgive me, my heart. Because listen, folks, if we say that we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. John was trying to tell those believers, listen, you're going to fall. But don't give in to it. Resist it. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for strength. But we are going to tumble into it. We just are. And I could give you example after example. Once I get on that road with some of these new transplants coming from somewhere, driving like it's a Grand Prix out there, oh, man, my flesh just starts to rise up. Lord, help me. Praise the Lord as I'm yelling. That's why if you... Listen, it's so easy to get back into that flesh. And listen, Satan won't get a foothold. He's just, it would just kind of slip out of his hands. It brings back a memory. I remember when I was a kid, about 12, I bought this fake bar of soap. Some of you are looking at me, some of the younger ones, like, what's a bar of soap? Because now we're doing all this all the time. And like these old things called bars of soap, they're still out there, I think. Those old dinosaur things that we used to clean ourselves, wash our face with and everything. So I had this fake bar of soap. It looked just like a bar of soap. I remember putting it in the bathroom and waiting for my dad to come in and wash his hands. And he got that bar of soap and he was just like, it wasn't doing anything. And I'm over there looking around, just laughing, 10-year-old kid, just having a blast. Listen, Satan wants to try to do some little trickery on us. And he'll try to look for some open door. Listen, you get this established in your heart, and Satan won't be able to make his way. There won't be an opening for him if we get settled on the Word of God. That's why we need to be in the Word of God on a regular basis. Amen? If we have a good hold of these things, it leads us on to some other great benefits that we have. And that next benefit that I'm going to bring out is this great benefit of the fact that we now identify with Christ is the accessibility that we have with the Father. We have this access now to God. He's our Father. Once we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, I would love to go to all these passages, but for sake of time, I don't go to all of them. I'll read them to you. Ephesians chapter 3, you may want to write that down. And verse 12 is a great passage. It says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. We have boldness and access with confidence. We can come boldly unto the throne of grace. Because of how cute we are, because of what? No, because of Christ and in His name. Because of what Christ did for us. And we come in His name and we can come right to the Father. And the Lord Jesus is there advocating for us. In 1 John chapter 2, and He's interceding for us. But we can come right to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a great, great thing? Listen, folks, we can go where very few can go. Because... every one of us that knows Christ, we can go right to the throne. That's a great, great thing. Every time we have prayer time, when we gather together in men's in the Saints Fellowship Hall, and we have our men's prayer meeting on Friday mornings, what a blessed time that is. It's just great. We have a lot of, we just do this little kibitzing, and then it turns into a devotion, and then the next thing, we sing some songs and some hymns, and then there's a devotion, and it's just great, but then it just culminates, and the greatest thing is we go off in separate parts of the room and we pray in groups, and we pray for the things that have been brought up for prayer, and we pray for our country, and we pray for first responders, and we pray for some of the things that you have gone through, some of the things some of the men are going through, some surgeries that are ahead, some of the cancers that we are dealing with. And what a great thing to know that we're going right to the throne room, to God's throne room. It is a wonderful thing to be able to, we're going into God's presence. Now, you all know that name, Isaac Newton. Isaac Newton was a great scientist way back, and along with many other things. But one thing about Isaac Newton is he knew Christ. He knew the Lord as his Savior. And he said this. He said, I can take my telescope and look millions and millions of miles into space, but I can lay my telescope aside, go into my room and shut the door, get down on my knees in earnest prayer, and I can see more of heaven and get closer to God than I can when assisted by all the telescopes on earth. Amen. I can be closer to the Lord. And yes, we know that as well. You can go out and search the heavens with telescopes and whatever you've got, and some of the newest ones, what's the newest one, that James Webb, or what's it called? This newest one that was developed. It's looking at things that they haven't seen before. You'll get closer to the Lord when you get on your knees if you know Christ. And you can just go to him and you can go right into that throne room. What a great, great thing that is. We're told that we have access to God the Father and that we may come boldly with confidence. And there's that great verse that I referred to just a little bit ago, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are there times when you need grace and mercy? Anybody here, would you raise your hand if there's ever a time? I'm going to get you guys to raise your hands for something, yes. Yeah, we all need it. Who doesn't need God's grace? And who doesn't need his mercy? And it's good to go to the Father of mercies, who loves us. He loves us through his Son. What a great, great thing it is. And then again, it's not to ask whatever we want. That's not what we're to do when we pray, but we're to pray according to his will. And certainly we don't know what his will is on things, and we bring those things to the Lord. But I love the fact that we can just bring them and lay them at his feet. What does it say that we're to casting all your care upon him? For he careth for us. He careth for you and I. That's a great thing. He loves you, and he wants you to bring those things before him. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 and 15, it says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. It's a great thing. It's an amazing thing that what we have here in the Lord. We are to come in Christ's name and to come humbly. If you and I come humbly, I was just reading in my Bible reading today about when Solomon became king and the Lord speaks to him. And, you know, we know that great verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, I think it's verse 21, you know. But, you know, if his people will come in his name and they'll come humbly. Well, we're to come humbly before the Lord. And the Lord responds to that. He gives grace unto the humble, right? But, you know, to the proud, no, he doesn't give his grace to somebody who's proud. And we can certainly become prideful, even as his children. So we're to come humbly, and we're to come in the fear of God and confessing sin. But yet, folks, we can come confidently. And the only way that that can happen is because we are inseparably linked to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because of him and because of his name that we come. Folks, I'll ask you today, do you need wisdom today? Do you need grace? Are there some provisions that you need? Do you need help in time of need? Do you need strength at times? Do you need consolation and comfort at times? Go to him confidently in Christ's name and he'll give it to you. He loves to give us good gifts. Trust him by faith. You know, don't be like that little girl who was asked by her mother to pray. They went off into the bedroom, right off the living room to go, and the little girl was time for her bedtime. And they were just visiting with grandma, and grandma's out in the living room. And so mom's there to have prayer with her little girl. And so she says, okay, sweetie, go ahead and pray. And she begins to just pray very loud. Oh, God, please give me a baby doll. And please give me a tea party set and roller skates. And her mom stopped her right in the middle of prayer. And she says, honey, God is not deaf. But the girl replied, I know that, but grandma is. So we just need to know we have promises. And we take those promises to the Lord. You know, the next benefit we receive when we understand this matter of identification is the inheritance that awaits us. What a great inheritance we have. It not only awaits us, but we have much to enjoy now. We have so much that God has given to us. Paul told the Corinthians, Paul told the church at Corinth, those Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, and you remember, they were a handful. They were a carnal group of believers, but they knew the Lord. They were just baby-like and immature. But Paul told the Corinthians, in everything ye are enriched by him. You are enriched by Christ. Folks, we don't think about it, but your life has been greatly enriched just by the fact that you've come to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I mean, we know that what he's done in our life, we know that he's saved us and given us eternal life, and we're going to live with him forever, but he's changing us. And as we yield to him, he'll change us even more so. But we are enriched by him in everything. And I think sometimes it might be good just to sit and say, Lord, would you help me? Let my mind start to think on that thought. And then you'll begin to start. The Lord will help you. And all these things will just come your way. And you say, I'm enriched by this and in this. And look what the Lord did for me. He saved me. I have my mother-in-law here, Sheila. It's so good to have my mother-in-law. She's my mom. Yeah. And it's so good to have you here. And I'm so grateful to her because before I was a lost kid, you know, growing up a lost teenager. I didn't get saved till I was 19. She has three girls. And she prayed faithfully that God would work in the hearts of her daughter's future husbands. And as a lost young man, I could have gotten into a whole lot of things. I don't know. I can't fill in all the blanks. I can't connect all the dots. But I just think about, man, I could have really gotten into some things. The guys I hung around, we all just played sports, and we were just yucking it up that way. And I was kept from a lot of things, not because of me. I do thank my mom and dad for the upbringing, so I certainly want to give credit where credit is due. But I just found that, you know, and I never gave a thought. I'm a lost kid, but I owe it to my future mother-in-law's prayers that God worked in my heart and just kept me at bay. And then eventually I got to meet my wife in Bible college. And we got married right after in 81. We just celebrated 43 years. I don't understand that. She's only 39. How is that possible? I don't know. But 43 years, and I'm so grateful that the Lord brought us together. But the Lord answered some prayers, and I've been greatly enriched just there, but how many other ways? Praise the Lord. Amen. Look what the Lord has done for us in wonderful, wonderful ways. We have so many, many blessings that have been poured out to us. I think of the words of that song that I've heard. I haven't heard it in quite a while, but there was a song that somebody sung, ain't God good to give us so many blessings undeserving? That's what we are. We ought to thank him, love and praise him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. That ought to be our lives. We ought to be thanking him for everything that he's done in our lives. No one's going to ask me to sing any specials. I know that. It's okay. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, it says, daily he loadeth us with benefits. He loadeth us with benefits. I'll just say this. Do you and I go about each day and say, Lord, would you open my eyes? Because how many of you can kind of get into a routine? You can kind of get mechanical. You can begin to just maybe take some things for granted. Probably not this crowd, right? That's live stream land. They're the ones that all forget. It probably happens to us, right? We don't really see the things, all the blessings that come our way. But it's good to just go along and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for watching out over me. I brought up the fact that we're driving, down on Tuesday, and I really covet your prayers. I was with Aiden. We were going to lunch. I think we were going to lunch, and we're right over here just stopped at, on 95 while we were on Prairie, heading east on 95, maybe 8 cars back, and somebody wants to make a left right there to go right where the Del Taco is, or the Kohl's, you know what I'm talking about? And somebody gets into the wrong lane, the left-hand turning lane of our side, they get in there, and I'm like, that's not good already. It was, and then there's a little gap, and so I think somebody said, oh yeah, go ahead, And that guy comes, and I could see in my rearview mirror or my passenger side mirror a car coming. And I said, Aiden, it looks like a guy better slow down. He just trusted that person, came right out, and this person didn't slow down, and bang. We watched it. We were there for a little bit. Nobody was hurt, but, you know, hey, listen, thank the Lord that he watches out over us. Be thankful for the things that he does for us. May we just be mindful of what the Lord does for us on so many occasions. I'm so grateful for what he has done. Daily, he loadeth us with benefits. But think about beyond that. Think about the things that await us. Think about the things that we have. We're going to get to heaven one day. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And I'll just read verses 11 through 14. There's just almost too much here to really process in your brain. But it says here in verse 11 of chapter 1 in Ephesians, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Being predestinated, God. Now, you know, we won't get into predestination in the mind of God, all right? God has allowed us to have free will and volition. But God sees things, and there's things that he's predestinated. God's seen our lives from the beginning to the end. He's watched out over us. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. And then verse 18, just a few verses ahead, says, the eyes, this is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. He says, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, being enlightened, he says, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Listen, we have this incredible inheritance that awaits us. We have so much now, and God is so good. He's given us the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you and I. He lives inside of us, and that is a bit of a foretaste of things to come. That's the earnest of our inheritance. You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. Does that really get a hold of you? It really should get a hold of every one of us, that we have the Lord inside of each and every one of us. Think about what lies ahead. Think about forever abiding with the Lord. I mean, we have him now, but we're going to be in his presence one day. We're going to behold the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we're going to be able to serve him throughout eternity. I look forward to that 1,000-year millennial reign and being able to do whatever he wants me to do. I don't care, whatever. I'll be a street sweeper. I don't care whatever the Lord wants for me to do, but I get to serve the King there. Forever abiding with the Lord. And then heaven, to be able to be in heaven and no sin. There's no sin in heaven. What a great thing. Can you imagine us not being able to sin? I have a struggle with many of you that I think, how's that possible with some of them? How's it possible with any of us that we could not sin anymore? That old nature's gone. How about this reunion with the saints? You know, there's going to be people when I get to heaven that, I get to see some folks that I haven't seen in a long time, and I'll give them a big hug. And obviously, we're going to fall on our face before the Lord. But when that time comes and we get around and we get to see those that we can have reunion with, I look forward to looking for my mom and my dad and saying, oh, man, it's so good to see you. I've missed you. I've missed you all those years. How good will that be? Amen? Perfect fellowship. Mansions. The Lord says he's preparing a mansion for us. No pain, no misunderstandings. I like the fact that there won't be any, no misunderstandings anymore. It reminds me of the farmer that bought a shaggy, dusty old horse from an old Mexican. And the next day he brings him back to the Mexican and he says, you sold me a blind horse. And he says, I told you yesterday, senor, that he no look so good. There's a lot of wrong communication that goes on, right? Go like, I thought you said, Well, that won't happen in heaven. Praise the Lord for that. What an inheritance. And then finally, when we begin to understand this concept of identification, another benefit results, and we begin to understand more and more that it's Christ working in us. It's Christ working in us. I think of John chapter 15, and you're probably real close to it, so I'll just read these first three verses. Let me just read five verses. I could read that whole chapter, or at least all the way up to verse 17, but it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. That's that process of sanctification that the Spirit of God does in that work in our hearts. But the Lord Jesus says to the disciples, they're in the upper room. He's ready to go to the cross in a matter of hours. And he says, and now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Folks, that's why the word is so important, that we stay in the word, that we ask God to put it, help, that we put it in our hearts, that we ask the Lord to do something with this word in our hearts. He says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. And again, folks, that's why it's so important for us to stay in prayer and to stay in this book. When we don't walk in the Spirit, we see what happens. We begin to wither up and die. We become fruitless, and God's not able to work in our lives. But as we walk with him, we can certainly see him working in us. When you see this union for what it is, you begin to start seeing the victories more and more, because it is the Lord doing his work through us. And we're not creating a hindrance, at least not as much as we possibly could. That's why it's important that we just say, Lord, your will, not mine. Work through me. Help me not to get in your way. An old missionary had long lived a defeated Christian life. In his despair, his eyes fell upon the words, Christ liveth in me. What, he said, is Christ actually living in me? It seemed like it finally dawned on him after all the years of reading the Word of God. It just settled in at this time. Christ is actually living in me? He jumped up and he danced round and round his table saying, Christ liveth in me. Christ liveth in me. And when he realized that he was actually indwelt by the crucified one, he came into a blessed freedom from the old self life. The life that is identified with Christ will be a life of sufficiency and fullness and victory. That's what takes place when we simply yield to the Lord. I love that verse. That's where he read that verse in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What a great, great verse. Today, if there is one thing that we can learn, it's that Jesus Christ is wanting to live his life through us. And will we let him? That is the only way to victory. You remember when Paul said, as he struggled and he struggled with the flesh, the things I want to do, I find myself not doing. The things I don't want to do, I find myself doing those things. And then he says at the end of that chapter, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And that next verse is, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will give you the victory. He will give you the answers that you and I need if we are going to allow him to work through us for the victories. We need to become more and more aware of this fact that this identification that we have with him, this union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, this union that we have and the benefits that we receive when we really understand the knowledge of it. Do we understand that what it's saying to us, that we are identified with Christ? Does that just sink into your hearts like, it's just never hit me till maybe right now, or maybe that has been something that the Lord's revealed to you, that I am part of him. And then the assurance that we receive, that just comes naturally when we know that There's nothing that can separate me from Christ. And you know what it'll not do? I mean, it could, but it's foolish. But it should not make you feel like, well, I'm part of Christ now, and I cannot be separated from him, so I'm just going to go live an ungodly life. Oh, man, boy, you and I have gone way off. I'm not saying that we can't get away from the Lord. We certainly can. But it shouldn't bring that at all. You talk about being the epitome of ingratitude, to know that he gave his life for you and I, and then for us to think, yeah, I can just go live the way I want. No, it ought to be, Lord, you bought me, you redeemed me with your precious blood, and you love me. You love me with an everlasting love. And it ought to touch our hearts in such a way that we would say, Lord, man, everything that I have but really belongs to you. And everything that I am really belongs to you. And I know it's a struggle, Lord, because I still pull at the reins. I still do many of the things that I do want to do. But, Lord, I know deep down in you did all that for me. I want you to have more and more in my life. I want you to have it all, but I want to get to that place. Amen. Doesn't it elicit that same kind of a response in your heart? It should. And then this great benefit of our accessibility to the Father, that you and I can just go. We don't even have to go off into a room. We can just go as we're driving along and we talk to the Lord. Lord, I come to you in my great Savior's name. Lord, help me as I'm out and about. Every time I think about it, every time I get out on the road, I say, Lord, would you protect me? Would you watch out over me? And I pray for all those around me as well. Keep everybody safe here. And you know, we don't ever want to take anything for granted, but we can take it all to the Lord. And then the inheritance that awaits you and I. What a great inheritance we have, right? He's building a mansion for us. We're going to be in heaven one day. This old nature gone. We won't be able to sin anymore. But look what we have now. We have some wondrous things. And then understanding that God is working in us. That Christ is in you. That the Spirit of God, we have the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. God's working in you. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. May we just simply let him do what he wants to do in our hearts and in our lives. Amen? Where are you at today? Now, I've been speaking to those of you that know Christ as your Savior. I think it's good for us to ask the Lord, where am I, Lord? Where am I in all of this? Do I need more to get a hold of eternal things? Help me, Lord. That's probably where maybe a good bunch of us are. Just because I'm preaching this doesn't mean I've maxed out, not even close. I'm getting to know this better and better, and I'm just wanting to draw closer and closer to Christ. But how about you if you're here today without Christ? You've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You've known about him. You were raised in a religious home. I was raised in a Catholic home. We believed about the things of God, but I never knew Christ. It was all just here. And I believe that, you know, oh, Jesus and God, yes, I believed all those things, but I didn't know him. And coming to know him is so important because he died on a cross for you. The Bible says he came to this earth, he was born of a virgin, he lived a sinless life, he lived and met the demands of the law for you and I, went to that cross on Calvary, was buried, and rose again. And now he says, if you'll recognize the fact that you're a sinner in need of a Savior, he will save you. He will give you everlasting life. And if you're here without Christ, then I would just beseech you, I would beg you, I would persuade you to trust Jesus Christ. In just a moment, we'll have a hymn of invitation. And I pray that God gives you some boldness to just step out in the aisle and come to the front. We'll have somebody show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And then for the rest of us that do know the Lord, whatever God's speaking to your heart about in this particular subject that we're talking about, let him have his way with you and I. Amen? With that, I'm going to have you just bow your heads at this time, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer in just a moment. But with your heads bowed, we're going to have the piano begin to play, and Brother Jason's going to come and lead us in a hymn of invitation. Where are you at today, believer? Has God spoken to your heart in regard to what we have in Christ? Maybe you're here today and you struggle with this assurance of your salvation. You just, it all kind of predicates, maybe that's for lack of a better word, it just kind of swings or hinges upon your behavior. Oh, I'm not doing the things I should. I wonder if I've lost my salvation. Well, the Bible says our salvation is secure if you've come to trust Christ. But maybe there's some things that maybe you just need to to take to the Lord and speak to him about. Maybe some things that he's brought up, this wonderful inheritance that awaits us, that maybe sometimes we hardly give any thought to. We're so caught up in the things of this life that we don't think about what awaits us. We don't think about what we have in Christ now. And if God's speaking to your heart today, then I would just encourage you to respond to him. If you're here without Christ, we would love to see you get saved and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. I certainly know this is true with me, but it's probably true of every one of us to some degree. We all fail. We all fall short in so many ways. Help us, Lord, to get our eyes on you as your people. And Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray you'll do that work in their heart. Show them that they need Jesus Christ today as their Savior. We thank you again. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand with a hymn book, and we'll sing a hymn of invitation. You just do as God tells you to do today.